ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம். ஓம் கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகம் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவே நாம் உபமஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம். சூத்ர பாஷ்ய க்ருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தௌ புனஃப் புனஃ. ஓம் ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம். தி 34th வர்ஸ் வித் விச் தி 34th காரிகா ஆஃப் தி வைதத்திய பிரகரணம், தி டீச்சிங் ஆஃப் மித்யாத்வம் ஆஃப் தி ஜெகத் ஆர் வைத்தியம் ஆஃப் தி ஜெகத், ஜெகத் பீயிங் மித்யா, நான் ரியல், ஜெகத் பீயிங் நாட் ரியல் இஸ் ஓவர். தி டாபிக் இஸ் கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தேர். 34th காரிகா அண்ட் 35th ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ், 35, 6, 7, 8, தி ஃபோர் காரிகாஸ் அகெய்ன் டீச் எ பர்சன் சம் டிசிப்ளின்ஸ், அது குவாலிஃபிகேஷன்ஸ் ரிக்வயர்ட் ஃபார் நாலெட்ஜ். Qualifications in the sense not like Chadan Chaturshtayam and all, some more some what can be done further for the ascertained vision, that is said here. So the 35th karika, Gaudapada Acharya ji highlighted the discipline of shravanam and mananam for clear doubt free knowledge of the truth. So the shravanam and mananam being very important for clear doubt free knowledge of the reality is highlighted in this 35th karika. Then so now we are not talking about the preparation of the what are the qualifications required for. Now we are not talking about sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Already it is assumed here, already you are endowed with the fourfold qualifications, that is why Hatha-Hadi of Upanishads. Now your the preparedness in terms of mental purity and mental steadiness is already there, or still you are taking care of it. Is it enough if you mentally become prepared for knowledge? So, I'm ready, I'm mentally pure and steady, so I should have the vision of the reality. Is it possible? I live a clean, ethical life. I'm very religious also, because I'm worshipful and prayerful. And also, I'm a spiritual person because I'm seeking the knowledge of the truth. I'm seeking the truth because I'm a spiritual aspirant. Therefore, I'm pure and steady. Relatively I'm mentally pure, I'm also steady minded. So the knowledge should just dawn suddenly by itself. Or if you practice meditation, can I have the knowledge of the truth? Without qualification, you can never have the knowledge of the truth. And even after becoming qualified for knowledge also, still you will not have the knowledge of the truth. You have to operate the pramanam called shastram in terms of the study of the shastram, which means in the form of shravanam and mananam. Study of the scripture is the operation of pramanam with reference to knowledge of the truth, a means of knowledge, reference to knowledge of the truth, and which must be done, the study must be done in the form of shravanam and mananam, listening, thereafter reflecting. So the shravanam will give you the, we've already seen that, or it is not a new lesson, but Acharya ji is the 35th karika, again he emphasizes that. So Shravanam one should do for removal, for removing the ignorance, and then one should do Mananam to make that knowledge one gains through Shravanam a doubt-free knowledge. So this way the importance of Shravanam and Mananam for clear doubt-free knowledge is highlighted in the 35th Karika. In the 36th Karika, he highlights the importance of the discipline of Nididhyasanam, otherwise called contemplation, which should follow Shravanam and Mananam, which cannot precede Shravanam and Mananam, and without which ascertainment of the vision is impossible. Without the ascertainment of the knowledge, then the benefit, we will not have the enjoy the benefit of knowledge. See, enjoying the benefit of knowledge means enjoying the effect of knowledge. The knowledge must be effective in terms of discovery of the freedom, in terms of your reveling, an unafflictedness, in terms of objectivity, they must be there. So even after having clear doubt-free knowledge, one becomes victim of afflictions and problems means the knowledge has not become effective, which means that clear doubt-free knowledge needs to be unforgettable, ever remembered knowledge, which becomes handy in all situations to not to be affected by situations. The Jivan Muktata, enjoying that freedom, enjoyment of freedom which is already there, that is possible only if the knowledge becomes ascertained, for which Nididhyasanam is very, very important. Therefore, these are the disciplines one has to choicelessly follow after becoming qualified for knowledge. Understand? So Nididhyasanam is highlighted in the 36th Karika, which we saw last class. Now we are entering into the 37th Karika. Here, see, Shravanam and Mananam emphasized in the highlighted in the 35th Karika, and Nididhyasanam highlighted in the 36th Karika are compulsory disciplines for knowledge. But there is an optional discipline which is prescribed in the Karika 37. What is optional thing? Taking to a life of sannyasa. Because I had told you before we start the class, take to life of sannyasa is an optional discipline prescribed by the Shastram for pursuing knowledge and for attaining knowledge, for enjoying the benefit of knowledge. If I don't use this word optional, oh my God, Shastram prescribes sannyasa also as a discipline. Shravanam, okay. Mananam, of course, they're very well, okay, very much okay. Nididhyasanam, of course, we understand it, very important. Sannyasa is also discipline for knowledge, means we'll all be scared. Isn't it? So don't be frightened. Sannyasa is not a compulsory discipline. Sannyasa is an optional discipline. What is sannyasa here? Living a life of a renunciation is sannyasaha. So I discussed about already in many previous classes, the sannyasa is twofold. Now vividisha sannyasaha and vidvat sannyasaha. Nyasaha means placing. Sam nyasaha, the prefix sam implies what? Renunciation. Nyasyati means places. Sanyasyati means renounces. The prefix sam changes the meaning. Sanyasyati, renounces. It's a verb. சந்நியாசக நவுன், சந்நியசனம் சந்நியாசக நவுன்ஸ், ரெனன்சியேஷன் ஆர் கிவிங் அப். சோ லைஃப் ஆஃப் ரெனன்சியேஷன் இஸ் அ டிசிப்ளின் ஆப்ஷனலி பிரிஸ்கிரைப்ட் ஃபார் தோஸ் ஹூ வாண்ட் டு கமிட் தம்செல்ஸ் டோட்டலி டு தி பர்சியூட் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் டு தி எக்ஸ்க்ளூஷன் ஆஃப் ஆல் அதர் பர்சியூட்ஸ். No, 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 I have other pursuit. Don't cry immediately. You are allowed to pursue you, because you have no choice. You had to pursue artha kama definitely to live the life. Who can deny that? Isn't it? In keeping with your needs. In keeping with your needs means in keeping with your state of mind, the desires. The needs means what I say, implies disease. In keeping with your needs, physiological, biological, intellectual, emotional needs, you have to pursue other ends. And those ends also, artha kamas are the ends to be pursued definitely to live the life. How can you live the life without pursuing artha kama? But only thing is, there's no choice about pursuing artha kama for living this life. But when you pursue artha kama, definitely make sure that your pursuit of artha kama is in conformity with dharma. That is important. If you pursue artha kama, transgressing dharma, animal in human form. If you are pursuing artha kama in conformity with dharma, you are a human being. Pursuing artha kama in conformity with dharma, when you attain knowledge, you are God. It's called, uplifting oneself. It's called elevating oneself from, as a human being, is a possibility of falling, becoming an animal or becoming God. Choice is in your hands. It is the dharma, isn't it? Dharma that converts you from becoming an animal prevents you from becoming an animal, and it helps you become God. Become means what? It helps you, uplift yourself. It is the dharma. Your pursuit of artha kama are important, but it must be pursued in conformity with dharma, ultimately for jnanam, which itself is moksha. This sentence, I am without changing my words, I am repeating every class. So here, sannyasaha, vividisha sannyasaha, the word vividisha is a desiderative word. Desiderative means, one word tells you the desire for knowledge is called vividisha. Vetum icha vividisha. Vetum is an infinitive. And for your sake, I'm saying Sanskrit grammar, okay? Vetum, to know, infinitive. Icha, desire. Vetum icha vividisha. Desire to know, desire for knowledge is called vividisha. And the sannyasaha, so a life of renunciation, totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, to the exclusion of other pursuits, is called what? Vividisha sannyasaha. And so such a person, vividisha sannyasi, need not worry about any work. Work means what? Any work means he not worry about his duties. Visha sannyasi is allowed to be free from duties. That is why many people wear saffron robes and they say they are claim themselves sannyasis. You can escape from duties. Jolly life. People think, no, that is a papam, I tell you. Take you to a life of sannyasaha, allows a person to be free oneself from all forms of duties. First, family duties are not there for a sannyasi. That is why I must be very, very prepared. Becoming a sannyasi, then worried about the family means what? You are not ready for sannyasa. That is why sannyasa is not for the one who wants to escape from family responsibilities. Sannyasa is for the one who has completed the family responsibilities. So, and also who is mature enough not to be worried about those. After having done certain duties and responsibilities, if a person is free emotionally, only then he is ready for sannyasa. Not simply taking, isn't it? Therefore, there is no family duties for a sannyasi. No social obligatory duties for a sannyasi. And no, not even religious duties. Religious rituals are also, sannyasis allowed to be free from even religious duties means he need not perform any rituals also. Okay, no duty, look at this. Only three important duties. Of course, worshipping, praying, and of course the other things are there. The performance of rituals, etc. Religious duties are not there. No rituals, no performance of rituals. No social obligatory duties. And no family duties. No worry about anything. Which means what should he be doing? What will he do for food and shelter then? And his basic needs, the food, shelter, accommodate, no? The clothing should be taken care of by the society. The society respects the culture. The society respects, values the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, because the society where there is knowledge of the value of knowledge, so they respect that, therefore they take care of the basic needs of the sannyasi. Which means the sannyasi who enjoys the basic in support of society should live his or her life very, very, very carefully. The sannyasi's mind must be involved. We are going to see that only in Shastram. The time is not for the enjoyment of pleasures. Sannyasi, once you have no duties means, you have no time for enjoyment of pleasures. No duty, no pleasure also. Oh, no duties, can enjoy pleasures? No. Why? Where is the time for you to enjoy pleasures? All your time must be for Shastram, for Shravanam, for Mananam, for Nididhyasanam, or for sharing the knowledge and helping some people if they approach, if they need, in the light of the Vedic knowledge. This is what sannyasi must be doing. The sannyasi is not, don't, sannyasi means not simply sitting all the time, not doing anything, having free time, enjoying the support of other people. No. This is sannyasi. Therefore, he is free from all other duties, means he is allowed to be free. Therefore, how he is free? He says,
Nistutir
nirnamaskaro. Niswadhakara evacha. Niswadhakara evacha. Nistutihi. Nistutihi. Stutihi. Sannyasi is the one who is nistutihi. What does it mean? Stutihi means stotram. No, praise. Stutihi means praise. So, reciting are chanting or singing in praise of the Lord, which is a form of worship, which is one of the aspects involved in worshipping, that is not there for a sannyasi. A sannyasi need not perform, any ritual. So there's a rule for some people in India that they need to do every day the chanting of the mantras of the Veda, some mantras of the Veda. The Vedic chanting is one of the disciplines, which is a religious, is a part of religious duty. Therefore, one does not need to do the even Veda Parayanam. Does not need to do the chanting of mantras anymore. He finished, that doesn't mean he should forget it. He cannot forget, okay? He doesn't need to chant. A sannyasi doesn't need to chant. But he has chanted a lot before. Now everything is in the mind, he doesn't need to chant anymore. Doesn't need to do same mode. Now it's like when you come to the higher standards, you don't need to every day write and see alphabets, Do you need to write and see the alphabets every day? But we have that discipline. Every day you have to be chanting mantras. That's different, isn't it? But here, the sannyasi need not involve himself in the discipline of chanting anymore. Nistutihi. He does not need to sing in praise. Does not need to sing in, Then the question comes, does sannyasi need to worship or not? Sannyasi need not perform physically activity, rituals, but still he can worship the Lord. Now for him, Shravanam itself is worship. Mananam is worship. Nididhyasanam is worship. All the time if you are dwelling upon subject matter of the Shastram, this is the highest form of worship. You know that? Even I told you, this here, listening to the teaching, listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram, itself is called Jnana Yajna. It is a transference of knowledge from the teacher's head to the student's head itself is a form of worship. It's a jnana yajna. Worship in the form of knowledge. Knowing, dwelling upon the subject matter of the teaching itself is what? Attainment of knowledge, which itself is a form of worship. So, jnana yajna is said to be the exalted form of worship. Because all other forms of worship, the performance of rituals, worshipping the different forms, involving the worship of forms, worshipping forms, etc., the singing, chanting, reciting of mantras, all these other disciplines should culminate in what? Knowledge. Therefore, the exalted form of worship is the what? Jnana yajna, pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, Shravanam itself is a worship, form of worship. That's why when you come here, it is like, more than going to the temple. Satyam. Shravanam is a form of worship. Mananam is a form of worship. Nidhyasanam is a form of worship. It's all worship. Therefore, the sannyasi need not involve himself in other forms of worship. Understand? But even then, sannyasi, if at all sannyasi worships, performs rituals also, that is for the well-being of others. So, vidvat sannyasi, after attaining the knowledge Also, one is called Vidvat Sannyasi, isn't it? As a wise person, one, after knowledge, there is Vidvat Sannyasaha. Therefore, a wise person is called Vidvat Sannyasi. A Vidvat Sannyasi performs rituals, even though he does not require to perform rituals. He does not need to do anything. Why? He performs it for the well-being of the society, for the welfare of others. In Vidvat Sannyasa, the wise person is free from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So, this being free from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, when a person performs actions, and that is for the well-being of the society. Is it clear? Therefore, this is the, you have to understand the difference. So, Nistutihi here means, this is for the Vividisha Sannyasi. Then, Nirnamaskaraha. Again, Namaskaraha means bowing. And Nirnamaskaraha means he is not involved in any of the activities implying the rituals. Is it? In terms of offering prostrations. Namaskaraha means offering prostrations. So, Nistutihi Nirnamaskaraha, these two words imply sannyasi being free from all religious duties in terms of performance of rituals, etc. Okay? Nistutihi Nirnamaskaraha. That does not mean he is not humble. Sannyasi who does not need to do namaskara means, what does it mean? He does not need to do, you know, the ritual. That's the meaning. As a ritual, one doesn't need to do anything. Then, Niswadhakaraha. A sannyasi is allowed to be a Niswadhakaraha. Swadha here means Pitru Karma, ancestral worship. Niswadhakaraha means the one who is devoid of the ancestral worship means what? One who does not require to need to perform the rituals in terms of Pitru Yajna, ancestral worship. In fact, as a karma yogi, as when a person lives as life of karma yoga, as a grihastha, for preparing his mind for knowledge, it is made compulsory. What is compulsory? Pancha maha yajnas are compulsory. Pancha maha yajnas means what? Now, five forms of worship. And forms of worship, there, Deva Yajnaha, a regular puja, regularly worshipping the Lord. Regular worship of the Lord is Deva Yajnaha. It is compulsory for a karma yogi who has had to prepare his mind for knowledge, who has had to discover dispassion in his mind. So, you have to become dispassionate. So, not being dispassionate is not a papam, not wrong. It is very natural for one to have passion for everything in the world. But having passion for everything in the world, doing a lot of work, in conformity with dharma, enjoying all the objects of desires, and one has to grow out of the desire for those objects one has enjoyed. Oh my God, oh, I was so passionate about so many things. I worked for them, I enjoyed them, now I have grown out of desire for them. That dispassion one discovers, then that the passion also has served its purpose, isn't it? Therefore, here, the Niswadhaka, the Panchamaha Yajnas, so Deva Yajna, daily worship of the Lord, worship, then Manisha Yajna, the service to the fellow human beings. I'm not going to elaborate on those things. Then Bhuta Yajna, doing the needful with the presence of mind, even for not hurting other living beings, not only the human beings. So Deva Yajna, Manusha Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, then Pitru Yajna, ancestral worship, in the form of performing Shraddham, Tarpanam, etc. We have that annual, once in a year people do Varshika Tithi, and every month they do Masika Tithi. It's on the day of the death, there's some worship. We do Dhanam, etc. Also give. No? We remember the ancestors. So Pitru Yajnaha. Then Brahma Yajnaha is what? Brahma Yajnaha or Rishi Yajnaha means the Swadhyayanam. Every day make it a point to chant at least the mantras of one's own shaka. One belongs to a given shaka of Veda. One has to study Swadhyayanam. Do this Swadhyayanam. So all these Panchamaha Yajnas are compulsory duties for a karma yogi who has yet to discover dispassion, who has to prepare his mind for knowledge. Whereas for the one who has discovered dispassion, one who is dispassionate towards everything else, the one whose passion is only for jnanam and moksha, a mature person, for him, no more Panchamahayajnas. Okay? Optional. Remember. Therefore, swadhak niswadhakarha means he does not need to do any more ancestral worship, etc. He is free from such duties. Niswadhakaraha evacha. Then, next, chala chala niketaha. Look at this. This is a beautiful word, like in this. A sannyasi is called chala chala niketaha. Must be a chala chala niketaha. What does it mean? Niketaha or niketanam means resort, abode, a place of dwelling. It's called a niketaha. That's why we have shanti niketanam, an abode of peace. Rabindranath Tagore's place called shanti niketanam. We call name, okay? Nilayaha, shanti nilayam, shanti niketanam. Not we always give good names. Even I heard something called Dayaniketan, an abode of mercy. In English, I started with Swamiji's name, something, for destitute women and children. But I am not a social work person. I'm a teacher. So somehow, I didn't continue that. I just gave it to somebody else and came away. Because very much seeing the suffering people, you know. I did something. Anyway, that's part's over. So here, Niketanam. No, anyway, I didn't want to deviate from teaching here. Niketaha is a masculine gender word. Niketanam is a neuter gender word. You know that very well. An abode. But here, the Acharya uses the word Niketaha. So here, Chala Achala Niketaha means, we do not talk about the abode here. A sannyasi is the one for whom his abode is chalachalam. Chalaha chalam niket. Chalaha niketaha is chalaniketaha. Means an abode, chalaniketaha is his own physical body. His own physical body which keeps moving here and there. which can move here and there is Chalaniketaha for him. Achalaniketaha means the only one Achalaniketaha is what? Brahma, the reality, absolute reality is the Achalaniketaha. So the unmoving, immobile abode is Brahman. The mobile abode is the physical body. The one who has, one who dwells in two abodes. The next question comes, what do you think is a place of dwelling? He does not mean here the physical location. Understand? Even though wherever you are placed physically, actually you are living, your life is considered, your life is in the place where your mind is. Isn't it? Physically, where you are placed, that does not make your abode. You know that? I am living in this house means, if physically, if I am living, staying here, we think it is my abode, isn't it? Physically, where you live is not your actual abode. Where do you live most of the time? Where your mind is, there you are. Where your mind is placed, where your mind is living, there you are. Therefore, what the mind is dwelling upon is your abode of dwelling, your place of dwelling. And here the sannyasi is the one whose abode is the physical body, his own physical body, and Brahman means when does his mind come to his body? All the time, the sannyasi's mind is placed in Brahman only. When you are into Shravanam, when he is involved in Shravanam, if a sannyasi is involved in Shravanam, mind is in object matter of the Shastram, which is Brahma. When he is in Mananam, object matter of Mananam is Brahman, his mind is in Brahma. When he is in Nididhyasanam, of course, he is only in Brahma. Isn't it? Always his mind is in Brahma. Therefore, he's what? Achala Niketaha. The one who is, one whose abode of resort is always Brahma. So occasionally he comes to his body. Occasionally he comes to his body, his mind comes to his body. What does it mean? Whenever auntie rings and tells me, there is bhiksha, are you ready? Whenever we have to respond to the world, then the sannyasi is supposed to come back to his body. Sometimes back pain, are also headache also may draw the attention from Brahma to the body. The physical, sometimes physical ailments also may draw your attention from the Shastram to the body. A small wound comes and the finger draws the such attention from Brahma. The all pervasive, incomparably limitless, greatest Brahma to the tiniest wound here can draw the attention. Why? The pain can draw. Okay, again ignore it, go back to Brahma. sometimes, okay, otherwise. In fact, the more you dwell upon Brahma, the more you can, you can also manage the needs. Understand? The more needs means what? The attention they needed by the body also can be managed the more you dwell upon Brahma. Or you can totally ignore also. You can just, in fact, the needs will resolve. Definitely needs won't be there, but the pain sometimes. A physical illness. Because physical body is ajnani or a jnani. Body is a body, sannyasi or a grihastha. For anybody, physical body has its own fever, cold and backache and front. All these things are there. But only when the jnani has to, the sannyasi has to respond to the world, mind should come back to, mind's attention is turned towards the body, then he lives in the body. Okay? That is then chalaniketaha. Whenever there is no need for sannyasi to respond to the world, he is achalaniketaha, shifts on, goes to Brahman. There is an inward journey. Isn't it? Place the mind in Brahman, come back from Brahman to the physical body. Again take the attention from body to Brahman. Beautiful, isn't it? This is sannyas. That's why sannyas cannot go anywhere. That's why there's a verse. Swadesho bhavanatrayam. So, Desha Bhavanatrim, all the three worlds, because nothing in the world can be an excite a sannyasi. Anything exciting? There's no excitement at all. Nothing more exciting than the self. This is truth. This is a fact. Only then you can be a sannyasi. Anything exciting other than yourself, then you, wrong choice. The person must make a wrong choice. Understand? Therefore, so here, chala achala niketaha. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? I really love this expression. Chala achala niketaha. That's why. Okay, nistutihi nirnamaskaraha niswadhakaraha, these three words of the first line express a sannyasi being free from all panchamaha yajnas. Then chalachala niketaha, and what is his lifestyle, is it? Where he lives, where he dwells. Whatever he is doing physically, externally, outside, mind must be in the Shastra. That means, unforgettably, it must be in Shastra. That's what he means. Then, yatihi means a sannyasi. Yadruchikaha bhavet. Yatihi is another word for sannyasi. Why yatihi? Because yatate iti yatihi. One who is of appropriate, adequate effort is called yatihi. A sannyasi is the one whose efforts are appropriate, who is supposed to be. Efforts are appropriate efforts and adequate efforts, he is called yatihi. Understand? Not only sannyasi, even a karma yogi can be yatihi. Yatihi literally means one who is of appropriate and adequate efforts. Yatnaha. Yatate iti yatihi. Yatate means makes efforts. Yatnaha is effort. One who puts in effort. Deliberately one who puts in effort for knowing the truth. One who does not waste his energy anymore in other pursuits. Is called yatihi. you can be a person of appropriate, adequate efforts in terms of accomplishing anything, isn't it? But here, the one who's put in, one whose efforts are adequate and appropriate in terms of attainment of knowledge. For yatihi, a sannyasi, is a nistutihi, nirnamaskaraha, niswadhakaraha, chala achala niketaha. Should remember, when he is achala niketaha, when he is achala niketaha. Okay? Brahmani rataha. You heard the word? Called achala niketaha. Then the last one is yadrichikaha bhavet. Yadrichikaha means, yadrichha means unexpectedly. Unexpected is yadrichaya. Labdhena santushtaha is yadrichikaha. Yadrichikaha means whatever one gets. Sannyasi, because all his needs are taken care of by other people. So the food comes from others, society. The shelter is taken care of by other people, And also clothing taken from other people. So whatever he gets, toast comes, okay. Sandwich comes, okay. Roti sabji comes, okay. Buckwheat comes, okay. Sambar rice, idli dasam comes, okay. Nothing comes also, okay. Yadrichikaha, you know, somebody buys something, whatever you get, there's no complaint, the same. The one who is happy with anything and everything he gets, satisfied with whatever people get. Suppose sannyasi happens with diabetic, the people bring jamu, gulab jamu. Then should politely give, offer it to Bhagavan, then distribute it to young people like David. Isn't it? Which, what does it mean? Yadrachikaha means, yadrachikaha means one who is satisfied with whatever one gets in life. Which means the sannyasi cannot be complaining. The whole jagat is complaining. Sannyasi also complains about things. That is not okay, this is not okay, that is a problem, this is a problem. Sannyasi also complains. You know, the mind, attention will be taken away by all the problems and complaints, isn't it? So there, you can never hear any complaint from a sannyasi. Therefore, which means non-complaining, non-demanding, ever satisfied with anything and everything in life as it comes, is yadrichikaha. It's good, isn't it? This is sannyasi's mind. This is sannyasi. It's called yatihi, a sannyasi. And this lifestyle is a vividisha sannyasi. So, it's different. Vividisha sannyasaha is a lifestyle which is prescribed for the one who wants to pursue the knowledge, the total commitment, exclusion of the pursuit of everything else, before the attainment of knowledge, isn't it? After the attainment of knowledge, whether a person lived as a sannyasi or lived as a karma yogi, then one can attain jnanam living a life of karma yogi also, mentally going through sannyasa, also living as a karma yogi also one can attain jnanam. Without becoming a sannyasi, doing Shravanam, Manam, Nidhyasanam, one can attain Jnanam. So living, going through Karma Yoga, then take life Sannyasa also, one can attain Jnanam. Whether a person lives a life Karma Yoga or a Sannyasa, still both have to do what? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam compulsorily for jnanam. But after attaining the jnanam, every wise person is, doesn't matter whether the person was before sannyasi or karma yogi or not, every wise person is a sannyasi. But even the person is in colored dress, that he is called Vidvat Sannyasi, the one who is renunciate. What has renounced? He has not renounced. The one who is free from the notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, those notions have been resolved. All the wrong notions about the self are resolved. And no more there for a wise person. And he is called Vidvat Sannyasi. So here in the 30, in this verse, 37th Karika, Vividisha Sannyasaha is prescribed as an optional division in order to become a Vidvat Sannyasi. Is it clear? Okay. Now we'll go to the next.
Tattvamadhyatmikam drishtva. Tattvam drishtva tu bahyatah. Tattvi bhutastada ramah. Tattvada prachyuto bhavet. Tattvada prachyuto bhavet. Tattvam adhyatmikam drishtva. Tattvam drishtva tu bahyatah. Tattvi bhutastada ramah. Tattvad aprachyuto bhavet.
So, the three disciplines to be, three compulsory disciplines, the fourth optional discipline to be followed by everyone, every spiritual aspirant, are completed in these three verses. Now last one, the benefit of knowledge is mentioned. So through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, one has clear, doubt-free, assimilated, ascertained vision of the self being identical with the absolute reality of the whole, wherein one has the vision of the non-duality of the reality, which means he sees, he said, perspective. The wise person has a different perspective. In the sense, his perception of duality is not denied. Without denying the perception of duality, he has what now? Cognitive appreciation of the non-duality of the reality. It's like we all, how we have the vision of the non-duality of water without denying our perception of plurality of waves, the duality of wave and ocean. Isn't it? Here this wise person has. Therefore, the benefit of knowledge, after he says, drishtva. Drishtva means what? Having seen. Drishtva is a indeclinable participle of the root drish. Is it? Drish plus Tva becomes Drishtva, having seen. Having seen means what? Not through physical eyes. Having seen through the eye of knowledge, which means having had the vision. Having seen is equal to having had the vision. Now, having understood the fact, having recognized the fact, having recognized the truth, having known the self, being Brahman. Kim drishtva, seen what? Tattvam. Tattvam means the truth. Tattvam drishtva. Having recognized the truth as what? As the very self. You can never recognize the truth as an object, isn't it? Having recognized the truth as not in oneself, as the self. Having recognized the truth as oneself, having known, having arrived at the truth as the very self, having arrived at the truth as the very swarupam of I, the knower. It said what? Adhyatmikam. Tattvam adhyatmikam drishtva. Adhyatmikam tattvam means what? Adhyatmikam means the truth recognized as the self is adhyatmikam tattvam. The truth recognized as the self is adhyatmikam tattvam. Therefore, having recognized the truth as the very self means what? As this truth of I, as the substance of the substantive I, as the swarupam of the very knower, then does he see the truth outside or not? Yes, I have seen the truth as myself. I don't see truth outside. I see the truth only as myself, in my inside. No. The wise person who has recognized the truth as one's own self is the one who sees the truth externally also. I do not see the truth externally if he says, you can understood what? You can understand what? Or if he says, I see the truth only outside, this is what is the truth as object, he says, he also does not see the truth. The truth, the reality, has no inside, outside. The inside, outside, free truth, okay? The truth which is devoid of inside, outside. You know, the one who has seen the truth, which has no outside, inside, as the very self, and thereby he sees the same truth, the self, outside also, externally also, as the truth of everything else. Understand? Therefore, one who has recognized the truth as consciousness, as the self, and one who sees the same consciousness, the truth of the self, as the very existence of the universe. How does a wise person see the truth inside? Not inside. The wise person sees the truth as consciousness. As the self, he sees the truth as consciousness. The same consciousness he sees as the existence of the everything else. Okay? Inside, he sees the truth as Sat-Chit. And thereby he is able to see the Chit being the Sat existence of everything. Is it clear? It's a very important thing. Chit is Sat. If you have been attending the classes for a long time, it will be very clear. So one who sees, suppose if the wave happens to recognize its own truth being water, And the same way can see the water being the truth, the existence of every other wave. Is it clear? Therefore, one who has adhyatmikam tattvam implies a chitta, the consciousness. And next is, tattvam drishtvatu bahyataha. Seeing the truth externally, bahyataha tattvam drishtva. Seeing the truth externally also as the existence sat. Understand? Which means, for him, the truth is one and the same. Consciousness and existence are not two different things. Two different substantives implying the same substance. Okay? Therefore, adhyatmikam tattvam drishtva, bahyataha tattvam drishtva. Seeing the truth as consciousness, as the very self, and seeing the truth externally also as the existence of everything, then tatvi bhutaha. Tatvi bhutaha means remaining as the very truth. Okay? Remaining as the very truth means what? Remaining as this person, the wise person, remaining as the truth means having resolved his ahankara, I sense, in the truth. See, having the ahankara resolved in the truth is called what? Remaining as the truth. Recognizing one's identity with the truth, or resolving one's identity, ahankara, in truth is remaining as the truth. It's like, suppose wave remains in its truth. Wave remains as the truth means the wave resolving the name and form wave being resolved in water is wave remaining as water, the truth. Is it clear? Here, tatvi bhutaha means remaining as the truth, means remaining as the self, or remaining as the truth means not remaining as the non-self anymore. Not remaining as the non-self anymore means what? Remaining as the self. Remaining as the self means remaining as the truth. Remaining as the truth means what? Having shifted the essence from non-self. Having shifted the essence from non-self means what? Having resolved the essence in the truth. Having resolved the essence in the truth means having understood the substance of the substantive, I being pure consciousness. I think it was very clear, wasn't it? Tatvi bhutaha. Remaining as the very truth or the self, then tad aramaha. Aramaha means reveling. Tad aramaha means tasmin aramaha. Tasmin tatve aramaha. Atma bhute tatve aramaha. Reveling in the truth which is the self. Reveling in one's own self, the truth. You must first remain as the truth, isn't it? Thereby you can revel in the self which is the truth. So reveling in the self which is nothing but the truth is possible only if you remain as the truth. You see the sequence. So reveling in the truth means what? What do you mean by reveling in truth? Oh my God. Reveling in one's own self as the truth means not being dependent on any external object anymore in the world. Reveling in truth means don't think there's something happens. People have all lot of fancy ideas of reveling in oneself. Reveling, the very word is understood in a limited sense. Reveling means people are nice, they're having nice fun somewhere. Okay, reveling in oneself means being emotionally, absolutely independent of the worldly objects for one's joy, pleasure and happiness. Is reveling in oneself. Means being happy with oneself. Simple, isn't it? People make it so complicated sometimes. Reveling means what? Reveling means just being happy with yourself. You can happy, being happy with oneself means what? Not the weight, height and looks. Okay? Sometimes you're very happy with the, like that. Unhappy with that. No. Being happy with oneself means remaining as the self. Remaining as this truth. Remaining as the truth. Self, which is the truth, isn't it? Is being independent of the world for one's happiness is reveling in oneself. Aramaha. Then next he says, Tadaramaha. Then Tatvat Aprachyutaha Bhavet. One becomes, this wise person becomes Aprachyutaha. Prachyutaha means one who strays away, slips away. Aprachyutaha means one who does not stray away, slip away from the truth. Which means one who does not lose sight of the truth. See, until and unless you see the H2O being the truth, water being the truth, you see only the wave, Namarupa. Once you have seen the truth, water being the truth, whenever you see the ocean or any wave, the true water, the sight of water, is it, cannot be lost. In seeing the wave, you do not lose sight of the water. Before knowledge, you did not see water at all. And after knowledge, you can never lose sight of water. Is it clear now? Similarly, before knowledge, there was ignorance of the truth, you did not see the truth. After having recognized the truth, remaining as the truth, reveling in the self as the truth, you cannot lose sight of the, you cannot miss the vision. You cannot, oh my God, I saw it, I lost it. No, you can never lose sight of the truth. You cannot miss the vision of the truth. It's called what now? This is the beautiful last word he says. Aprachyutaha. Aprachyutaha means this person becomes the one who cannot lose vision of the truth. Is it clear? Which means one who remains steadfast in the vision of the truth. This is the Jnana Palam. Still has a long way to go for us, but still the teacher wants to really make us feel happy, so he completes it nicely. We have too many prakaranams further, okay? We are going to complete the second chapter. Oh, this is over now. Finished. Teaching is over. No. It only starts. So, aprachyutaha bhavet. Hope you got every word here.
Tattvamadhyatmikam drishtva.
Tattvam drishtva tu bahyataha.
Tattvam drishtva tu bahyataha.
Tatvi bhutastadaramaha.
Bhutastadaramaha.
Tattvada prachyuto bhavet. Tattvada prachyuto bhavet.
అప్రచ్యుతః భవేత్ ఇతి గౌడపాదీయ కారికాసు వైతత్యాఖ్యం ద్వితీయం ప్రకరణం సమాప్తం. సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ యాస్ వైతత్య ప్రకరణం ఈజ్ ఓవర్. యు వాంట్ టీ బ్రేక్ నౌ? టుడే లైట్ క్లాస్, ఇట్ నాట్ హెవీ క్లాస్. లాస్ట్ వన్ వాస్ లిటిల్ హెవీ. That is why when we teach the tradition, when we teach Vedanta, we are very careful. Never say inward journey, extra, outward journey, see within, see inside. All words Swamiji avoids carefully. See within. In means what again? Inside where? Isn't it? That's why very careful in. Because otherwise it's unnecessary. It may sound very nice, but the vagueness also will be there forever. But it may sound nice. It's okay. Okay, have tea and come back. We'll start a good introduction to summary you will get next week.